God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. This is Brother Hutchings inviting the listeners to another Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. And here now is Brother Jerry.
Thanks, Brother Hutchings. Today, Brother Hutchings continues his visit with syndicated radio talk show host, author, and Bible prophecy teacher, Paul McGuire. Brother Paul's written two books, and they've been talking about them this week. One is The Day the Dollar Died, and the other is Are You Ready for the Microchip, which we're offering as gifts of appreciation for those who support Southwest Radio. Here now is Brother Hutchings and his guest, Paul McGuire.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. Brother McGuire has been in our meetings from time to time, and he has been on the same stations that we have. He is a dear friend of like precious faith. We're pleased to have him with us on the program this week. He's written two tremendous books on the signs of our time, and his Bible prophecy being fulfilled today. One is The Day the Dollar Died. That's on the coming economic system of the Antichrist, which I think we're well on our way to that already. His other book, which is a tremendous book, Are You Ready for the Microchip? And certainly we know the day is coming, according to the scripture, that everyone will be called upon to take a number or mark that they are members of the world government and are demanded to abide by the rules. And if they accept it and accept a man, a world president, shall we call him a world dictator, and then they will see the mark of the number, and they'll be able to work and be able to buy food. And if they don't take that mark or have a number, they're not going to be able to work or go to the grocery store and buy a loaf of bread. We see this coming down the pike. Brother Paul, I remember a few months ago, I think it was the state of Virginia, actually passed a law that no citizen in the state in Virginia would have to take the mark of the beast. And that was actually a state.
That's right. They called it the mark of the beast legislation.
Yes. And that just shows you that some are aware of the days in which we live and how near that time is coming. But I appreciate very much what you've written in this book, Are You Ready for the Microchip? You have presented some remarkable historical data and also documented that just how we are near the time when we may be called upon, or those who are left in the world, to take the mark or number of the coming Antichrist. And we know it's coming because the Bible says it is. And you just think of all the prophecies, Brother Paul, that are being fulfilled in our day that were written thousands of years ago. And all these prophecies have come to pass, and we know that this one is too. But we appreciate this book very much. But do we ever learn from history, though?
I'm laughing because it's a tragedy. No, we're not learning from history. And what deeply concerns me, Noah, on a personal level, is the church and some of the Christian leadership is not learning from history. And as the old expression goes, those that don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. There are a number of things that are coming up on the horizon which are warning us, and they've happened in history before. First of all, history teaches us that whenever a nation goes into economic crisis, governments notoriously print money from nothing. In Nazi Germany, they printed money from nothing, and they had hyperinflation, and hyperinflation helped collapse the economy. And then, of course, with the weakness of the economy, the people and even the church were crying out for a strong man to deliver them. And a demon-possessed ruler, Adolf Hitler, took control. The other thing is that if we look at the communist revolutions, and there are certain strategies that follow. One is destroy the church. Two is destroy the family. destroy all morality, destroy private ownership, and we see that happening here. So history is repeating itself. All the historical signs are telling us that America is going to go under martial law and be in a police state, unless God's people were to have an awakening of one kind or another. We need to learn from history. I mean, we need to make some serious changes, or we're going to end up, unless the Lord returns very quick, in a very bad place.
Brother Paul, I think of what is happening here in the United States. Of course, it's very disturbing that so many people are out of work, but also so many have woken up to the fact that the property that they paid for, worked many, many years to pay for, and they thought maybe worth $3,000 or $4,000, is now worth very little. This happened in 1990 when President Bill Clinton, at that time, passed laws to force the banks to underwrite mortgages, use savings and pension funds and everything. I think something like 25 million homes were built. 5 million of them, I think, were sold to illegal immigrants, and most of the others were sold to people who couldn't pay for them. And, of course, at that time, everyone was working. Plumbers were working. The electricians were working. The carpenters were working. So it was a good time. And Mr. Bill Clinton said, oh, it's the economy, stupid. But here in 2008, all these millions of people couldn't pay for their homes. Now, what happened? There was no money left in the banks. So, crash. Now then, homes have lost, many of them have lost 40% of their value, some 50% of their value. And I understand that in some areas you can buy a mortgage for 5% of its value. That means homes have lost their value. Real estate, billions and billions and billions of dollars were lost. That's really tragic, isn't it?
Well, it is tragic, and as we continue on now here in 2011, the cartel that really owns the United States, the government, the invisible government behind a government, which would be the Federal Reserve, who are the international bankers who really control our nation, they used the financial crisis to expand their power. They took control of all the other banks, all the other financial institutions. They raided the average American's retirement by devaluing the dollar and devaluing the worth of their stocks. And what a lot of people don't understand is that this devaluation of the value of the home is a strategy, because the goal is to make home ownership unaffordable for the average American and have the average American now rent instead of buy a home. And the people that will own the home are the International Federal Reserve bankers. So they become the big landlord in a communist system, and the average American no longer owns. He now rents his home from the government, or really the Federal Reserve bankers.
That much like the system in China already. Yeah. The communist system is the government commands everything, everything, in China even today. Now then, that is under the control now of the UN, and practically everything we get in this country now is made in China. 91% of what is sold in Walmart comes from China, and that's why we're all out of work. But this is all according to the world plan.
This is the world system. This is the beginning of the one world economic system. It's the beginning of the mark of the beast, and it's the beginning of a one world government. And it is the plan of the Federal Reserve to establish this global government and one world economic system. But the word they actually used in the United Nations, they hide it. The word that they used when they founded this plan for a one world government, they said, our plan at the United Nations, the purpose of the United Nations is to build a world communist government. That was the original language. Now, they cover that up today.
A world socialist system. In England, they're well on their way to that. And also in Europe. It's amazing that in the European government now, that all the laws that they have passed And now then, they can arrest anyone in any nation in Europe, and they have to go to Berlin or whatever. They have a common court system, a common police system, and a common market system now.
And the politicians in Washington, many who I believe are on the take, in fact, I think most are on the take, they want to put us under this same system, and they want to put us under the control of United Nations law. That means we lose our constitution, we lose our constitutional freedoms, and we no longer have American laws where you have freedoms and protections. Now the plan is to put the average American under United Nations international law, which is really a world dictatorship.
Now, recently, the state of Oklahoma, and we're pretty independent here in Oklahoma, and we're pretty concerned, I think, more than some states or people in other states about what is going on. In the election on November the 2nd, we passed another law, a couple of laws, that international law and Sharia law was not to be used here in Oklahoma to determine justice, injustice, or judgment in any court in Oklahoma. And what happened? A federal judge put a stay on the law. Now, we don't know what is going to happen at the time we're recording this program to that law. Same thing happened in Colorado. Same thing happened in your state of California. 7 million people voted to pass a law, and they overturned it. Federal court system.
Which is what our founding fathers used to refer to as tyranny.
Yes. State law now is becoming totally subservient to federal law. And federal law now is becoming subservient to international law. And that's why the state of Oklahoma passed the law that we don't want international law here. But it's coming, I believe, to this nation.
Yes, it is. And I don't think, I know that in your ministry and in my ministry, one of the things we're trying to do is blow a trumpet and wake people up to what's coming, because unfortunately, the average American is asleep, but many, many Christians are asleep. And if they would wake up, we could probably prevent a lot of this. And what they're going to use to force us to do this is economic control. The Bilderberg Group ordered the microchipping of the U.S. population in 2008. We also have in the health care bill has language that calls for the microchipping of U.S. citizens, and they have a target date. Now, they set target dates all the time, and I talk about this in my book, Are You Ready for the Microchip? But they set target dates all the time. They don't always hit the exact date, but they do eventually hit it. And they have called for the microchipping of every baby in America, every baby born in America starting in 2013. Again, that doesn't mean they're going to achieve the date, will be microchipped. So that's how close we are. And I just want to read some of the language. I have more of it in my book, but I want to read a brief part of the language of the health care bill and the calling for the microchip implant. Now, admittedly, this language is vague. So legal experts will tell you the language is vague. But very prominent constitutional lawyers like John Whitehead, and then on the left, prominent lawyers in the ACLU, believe that in the health care bill, and I have this in my book, there's language that calls for a microchip implant. So President Obama's health care bill on pages 1001 to 1005, and I have more details in the book, a section titled Subtitle C11, Section 2521, it's called the National Medical Device Registry, which states, quote, the Secretary shall establish in a National Medical Device Registry, and they're referring to an electronic device. I'll skip a little bit of this. The registry, the electronic registry, is to facilitate a post-market analysis and outcomes data on each device. Now, that's an RFID chip device, is or has been used on the patient. B is a class 3 device. a Class II device that is implantable. Well, the device that they're talking about is an implantable microchip. So it's vague language, but right here in our healthcare bill, it says they're going to microchip American citizens with an implantable device, and they may start out calling it a med chip or medical chip, but the bottom line is you're going to get microchipped through the healthcare bill. Now, talking about this invisible government, Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was the foreign policy advisor to President Carter, now is the advisor to Obama, Brzezinski, and he was the co-founder of the Council on Foreign Relations with Rockefeller, he wrote a book in 1970 called Between Two Ages, America's Role in the Technotronic Era. Now, Brzezinski, an extremely powerful man, globalist, CFR, he actually comes out and says in his 1970 book, this is what he said. He comes right out in the open. He says, the technotronic era involves the gradual appearance of a more controlled society. Such a society would be dominated by an elite. I mean, these are the words of an Adolf Hitler. He says, we're going to create a society dominated by an elite. And then he says, unrestrained by traditional values. Now, when he says unrestrained by traditional values, he is saying that we will do anything, even if it's immoral, killing, putting people in a concentration camp. We will not be restrained by morality when it comes to establishing this scientific dictatorship. And then he continues on. Soon it will be possible, this is in 1970, soon it will be possible to assert almost continuous surveillance over every citizen and maintain up-to-date complete files containing even the most personal information about the citizen. These files will be subject to instantaneous retrieval by the authorities. And then he goes on to talk about using drugs and electronics to control the society. And that's where we are.
Certainly, again, as we have been bringing out in these programs, everything is working according to plan. Used to be when people got out of work and, you know, well, the industry and they need to do this, that, but now it's the government. The government. Everybody looks to the government. If there's unemployment, they look to the government. If there's no food, they look to the government to solve everything. If there is a problem with transportation or airplane flights or safety, they look to the government. We're being conditioned to look to the government now for everything. Christians have caught up in this trap. In Russia, you know, they would have the children bow their heads and pray to God for a piece of cake or cookie. And then they would lift up their heads, no cookie. And then they would say, pray to Stalin for a cookie. And then the teacher would slip by and place a cookie on their desk while their heads were bowed or had their heads on the desk covered by their eyes, covered by their hands. And then they'd look up and there was a cookie. See, Stalin provided a cookie. Right. And the same thing in China. So I think these are people who are being conditioned. Television has a big play in this now. World television is very, very influential. And the news media, the latest edition of Time says 40% of Americans believe that marriage is no longer needed. So what is going to replace the home, the marriage? Government. See? Government.
Right. The government will become the parent. You know, as we were discussing this before we started the broadcast, and you're using the right words. American children, many generations of Americans, have been systematically brainwashed. Now, people say, oh, Paul, that sounds so extremist. Well, no, it's not extremist. There's proof for it. The founder of the modern public education system, in his own writing, and many of his colleagues, came out and said, this is the founder of public education, in 1920, when public education was officially created, The founder, John Dewey, said, "The purpose of modern education is not to educate." He said, "The purpose of modern education is to indoctrinate, to destroy the family, to promote socialism, and make people citizens of a new world order." And that's I call them the mind factories. That's the purpose of education. It's indoctrination. And Dewey was trained in the Soviet Union.
Yes. And in education today, you have the theory of evolution. Now, people complain that only 10% of children, even from Christian homes, go to church anymore. Why? They've been taught in school there is no God. That everything came into being way back eons ago when maybe a lightning strike hit a pool of muddy water. And the chemicals come together and boom, life began. That's what they're taught. And that's what we read in Romans 1, that people taught this. Paul said that's vain imagination. And from this vain imagination that there is no God, there becomes immorality as the days of Noah all over again. He goes on to say that even the women will become burning in their lust for one another, and men also. He said that begins with teaching of evolution. Right. And that's where we are in the schools. We now have the spread of homosexuality. 150 of the major players in the present administration are homosexual. We have a major homosexual in the Department of Education. That's a plan. We see all this coming to pass in our lifetime. Where this is leading is the one world system, and I mentioned television. And we read here in Revelation 13:15, "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed." So what we have here is on television you see images. Television today has replaced the church. But here now is Brother Jerry to tell you the number to call or the address to write.
The number to call is 1-800-652-1144. Write to Southwest Radio Ministries, Post Office Box 100, Bethany, Oklahoma 73008. A third way to get the books is the Internet. The website is at swrc.com. Are You Ready for the Microchip? Is 164 pages in length. In the book, Brother Paul asks and answers the question, is there a secret occult plan to destroy the United States and make it a part of a world dictatorship? Could the microchip play a role in that plan? The technology is here. The book is offered for a contribution of $20 in the United States, $22 in Canada. Brother Paul's other book, The Day the Dollar Died, is also available. It's 178 pages, and in that book, Brother Paul shows that the financial crisis is orchestrated to bring a global currency and one world economic system. This book is offered also for a gift of $20 in the U.S., $22 in Canada. Better yet, get both of the books in appreciation of a $35 contribution in the United States, $40 in Canada. These last three programs are also available on CD or cassette tape. Get them for an offering of $17 in the U.S., $18 in Canada. Again, the number to call, 1-800-652-1144. Coming next over many of these stations is a Bible in the News report. And join us tomorrow for your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. It's time for a Bible in the News report, a recent story with a biblical viewpoint, a feature of your Watchman on the Wall program of Southwest Radio Ministries. Reporting is Dr. Bob Glaze.
One of the greatest horrors of Obamacare is the possibility that there may come a time in our lives that the government will make the final decision where we live or die. Nowhere in Scripture does it give anyone the right to murder or commit suicide. And while abortion is one of the grossest forms of murder of the helpless, now the government thinks it should determine who should live and who should die. In an article written by Newsmax, in an article entitled, "Obama Embraces Death Panel, Concept and Medicare Rule," It reminds us of the words Obama used when running for president. Quote, President Obama promised his program would not pull the plug on grandma, and Congress dropped plans for death panels and end-of-life counseling that would encourage aged patients from partaking in costly medical procedures. Sarah Palin defined such efforts as death panels. The article goes on to say, but on December the 3rd, the Obama administration seemingly flouted the will of Congress by issuing a new Medicare regulation detailing voluntary advanced care planning that is to be included during patients' annual checkups. The regulation aimed at the aged may include advanced directives to forego aggressive, life-sustaining treatment. The New York Times reported the new provision, which goes into effect January the 1st, allows Medicare to pay for voluntary counseling to help beneficiaries deal with the complex decisions families face when a loved one is approaching death. Critics say it is another attempt to limit health care options for the elderly as they face serious illness. Incoming House Speaker John Bower said during his health care debate, the provision may start us down a treacherous path towards government-encouraged euthanasia. In November 2009, form of the bill allowed Medicare to pay for this advanced care planning consultation every 5 years. The latest move by Obama would authorize Medicare to pay for this once a year. Dr. Donald Berwick, who has been chosen by Obama to head the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, said he is a strong advocate for rationing Medicare procedures health care. In fact, according to the article, Berwick has long applauded Britain's National Health Service, which uses an algorithm to determine whether the aged are worthy of additional expenditures for medical care and advanced treatments. The Obama plan will cut nearly $500 billion in Medicare benefits to seniors as the federal government adds 30 million uninsured Americans, and I might add several millions more of illegals, to private and public health care. These volunteer consultants could be nothing more than uneducated nitwits who get paid by the headcount. God created life and is the only one who has the right to take it away. Nowhere in Scripture is murder or euthanasia justified. One of the best examples is in the story of Job. Job was a man that was chosen by God to be tested by Satan. He was a sick and dying man that could not begin to understand the situation that he found himself in. He even rued the day that he was born, but still maintained his convictions. In Job 2:9-10, his wife tried to get him to kill himself. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. And all this did Job not sin with his lips.
That's today's Bible in the News Report, a presentation of Southwest Radio Ministries. Join us for the next Your Watchman on the Wall program and a Bible in the News Report.